Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, May 30th, 2020.
Looks like the appellant's coming on now. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good.
One sec, let me my volume set up here.
Okay, well, we're gonna start the hearing then. Maricel, will you start the hearing, please?
Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, May 30th, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-219-23. The appellant is Combash LLC, parcel number 1-1408-401-3322-001. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of the board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. The hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I so affirm.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is to receive all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
This is a commercial appeal. We allow about an hour for these. For the first 20 minutes, I'd like to hear from the appellant. And then we'll hear from the assessor and we'll see where we go from there. So, Mr. Strucker,
could we please take Mark's screen down? I can't see who's talking. I just see his screen.
Let me stop sharing here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I spent all that time figuring out how to share, and now I can't unshare. Let me drop out, and I'll come back.
Should be right at the bottom.
Yeah, I can't get it to maximize again.
Well, okay. In the meantime, Mr. Stricker, why don't you proceed?
I don't
hear you, Mr. Stricker. I don't hear you.
Muted. Your computer's muted. There we go.
That's you.
There we go.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. Thank you again for having us, Mr. Romano, and everyone here on this panel and in hearing this property out. Richardson Road, this office property has been a very specific property in our Tri-City market. A little background on me is I've been in commercial real estate, 100% dedicated to commercial assets the last 12 years since moving back from Chicago, where I had a capital markets and investment banking, heavy financial analysis background, handling real estate portfolios for companies and institutional investors. I moved back with my mother and father back in the day, you know, Dirk Sugar commercial real estate to learn Tri-Cities. And actually I had a Le Mans class at this building 12 years ago, when I first found this amazing building. Holy cow, Class A office, just like Chicago. Little to realize that that's one of the few ones like that in Tri-Cities. And over the last 12 years, as I've stayed dedicated to my craft, I've learned more about our market and assets and kind of how we comp, how we value. But also, there's always more to the story than just a per square foot, right? As we all know here in the panel, there's a narrative to it. And so I want to talk about this property and how it relates to what we saw in the last 6 years since it's been on the market for sale, And we finally had an investor come by and purchase property. And now we've had about 9 months of managing it, almost upon a year now, operating it and seeing the true numbers. And it does reflect my attitude that we paid a lot to get it. It meant to get that asset done and a deal done for two different parties. But it has been a struggle, and it's only got worse in a lot of ways in the market post this. But I know we're talking about last year's tax appeal. And so I want to kind of stay current and not talk about real time market dynamics just right now and looking in the rears on this valuation. But through my broker perspective and deal making, especially in assets over $2.5 million in this region, I really have specialized to just less is more of a boutique. And my company does. We started this 2 years ago when I left the NEIs and other corporates we had here to start my own firm, where I have a property management group, broker division, and my operations and marketing team. And through all those hats is how I've learned to the craft of commercial real estate and the appraisal part of it, the data side of it, the cost side of it, and then the making deal happen side of it through the chamber of commerces and other site selectors and the institutional side. So full spectrum. But learning about this asset in North Richland is specific because the location, the size of the building, the tenant type, and the price point, and all four of those buckets make this asset an outlier to most things in Tri-Cities. And I've done that because I've targeted basically buildings with elevators. That's kind of my little thumb of drive to try to talk about properties that are sizable, that have how to understand it, how to manage it, how to account for elevators and true, hey, what's a modified gross lease really mean? You know, what's the true nature on the accounting side of modified gross leases when you start structuring it? And what we're buying on pro formas in the past, and now we have financials showcase this property is overvalued for what it is and what it's taking to keep it at its current condition without the exterior factors of national market interest rates and all these kind of things that only worsen some of these buckets. So here to talk about that in narrative with facts and in real-time data to support that. There's an increase from what it was, and I can understand that. I've read the reports and the independent assessments, which I believe come out to right above the purchase price at the kind of between $5.9 and $6.1 million between the income approach and the cost approach maybe. And I would like to kind of discuss where I came from and where it left at, but really just to show support that the sales price of 5.9, which really ended up being at the end of the day, doesn't necessarily indicate that that's the true market value for the property. You know, I bought a new vehicle, God forbid, 3 years ago, and I lost 38% depreciation right out of the gate. And it's almost like this in this asset, which it was a great deal in a way, but they weren't all tangibly metric magnified. The seller has been trying to sell that for a decade, and also, you know, they've been trying to sell it for since I had the LMOS class in 2012. And so I saw what it took because I've been trying to bring buyers to this property the last 5 years because it's a trophy asset. It is. It's a neat, it's an amazing building. I would like 10 more of these in the corridor and throughout Tri-Cities. It helped form an actual core, you know, in the Road 100, in the G-Way central side of it. You know, so I want to do well because we need to show these as case studies, why they work on a lease and the tenant, why they work for local investors or out-of-town investors, and how to keep this actually balanced so we keep wanting to do more of that. And that investor has success, even though it's tough, but we're not getting slammed in all the areas, because right now, it's every line item that's hitting us. It's tax, it's property insurances, it's electricity, it's the elevator service bill now, it's the backflow, it's the new, a lot of things. And so those aren't reflecting in these leases that were struck previously before the transaction happened. And if I could rewrite the leases to match your guys' valuation, I would love to do so. But we can't do that for 5 to 11 years if that ever happens, because we're stuck in these modified growths where the landlord is carrying all the costs of these anything new. And just for example, we didn't know this, right? Because we did as much due diligence as possible, but a big asset like this and several ownerships, sometimes there's hard to have real-time centralized real data, and that's understandable. There is no cell phone service in that building somehow. Somehow there is a tower of Class A DOE. It has some service, yes, the main lines, but cell phone-wise, It can't get that. And we didn't even know that. That's something that was not a kind of a notion of that. Well, that's a $8,000 to $12,000 landlord cost or something that needs to happen that wasn't factored into that $5.9 million sales price when we thought we had all our stuff ahead of us. And so we've really, in the last ownership part, I learned a lot about the true cost of that building and see why other people never got to the finish line with something like this, and also the
Can
attitude
I
of
ask a
that. So,
question here then? You
for
seem to
sure.
indicate that that the leases weren't a known factor. I don't understand that since you said the leases were already in place from the prior owner. So,
Not a known. So I'm sorry, I'm gonna cut you off.
no, go ahead.
So not that we didn't know the leases. For sure, we had the leases, and trying to true up and say, hey, here's what we have in the leases, and here's definition of costs. Here's some landlord provided profit and loss with some round numbers that, okay, this is what we know to be the actual ownership. Was my property management team has taken over and really been in the details of it with an organized machine we are. We've seen the real cost of it, not what was on the pro forma. It's in the lease. That's why the problem is. It's stuck in that modified gross. And so now that taxes are up, X $12,000, and insurance have doubled, and the utilities and the lawn care. So all of a sudden, at one time, the investment made an investment in our local market on an asset that was scary. And at one time, everything jumped up at the same time. And that is all on the landlord. Financial side of it due to leases, and we knew that going into it. That is not a, oh, we did not know that. We know that we have to maintain this ship and hopefully control the cost better, be more transparent, and hopefully work some sort of way to share the cost, because right now it's all a burden to the landlord. And so we know that hopefully in year six down the road of ownership, that when these renew out, and these are good problems to have, that we can rework leases to account for some of those things. And at that point, that investor would pay more of top dollar to this asset at 6.1, because now it's more of a turnkey asset. This is not a passive investment like we kind of thought. We know that because we're management, but the client, there's a lot more cost. So I don't want to go too far, and the OpEx is more than what it is, but it's the reasons why the deal never traded before that does affect the value, and then the actual expectation of why is that not sold, even though it's pretty and big and leased up. What's the trend on it? And the trend is we bought it on a downward slope, and it's taking more to run it than what was it disclosed. And now we know that, but they're not coming back to tax man saying, please fix it because of that. We're saying that part of it is on a broker hat, Mr. Panel, everyone, it's affected the value. If we wanted to sell that right now in the marketplace, we cannot get that dollar amount again.
Okay, here's the problem I'm having. First of all, the effective date of this assessment is 1/1/23, right? So what's happening in today's market has no impact on that assessment at that date. Your client bought the property, as you said, for 5.9 million in May of 23, which was after the assessment date. The assessor is valuing the property around 5.3 million and change as of 1/1. So that's I understand what you're saying about the current environment and what it takes to get a new building to be cost effective and all that. But as of 1/1/23, the things you're deciding were not in place.
True. And I acknowledge that, and I call it earlier, I'm not trying to go too far knowing that we're still working in the rears, I've
Right.
done some of these before, not on this part of the panel, but that is at that time at the 1/1/23 on the cusp of Silicon Valley Bank and all the fallout and the interest rates starting to slide from there, 35 days after. This has been a window that's been an issue with a lot of these panels and around jurisdiction because so much happened in that part. And so I agree that I'm not trying to bring up today, but yes, an old thing is that was for us to do the deal, that's where we had to do it at 5.9, knowing that, hey, if we need to turn this, that's not the value at that. And this actually is should hopefully, and what we're scared about doing is it going up like that again. So this is the jump off, and that's where that value then won't be reflective again, 4 months in the rears of where we're at right now too. So I'm not holding where I my 4.55, I see the increase, I see your reasoning, I see your guys's panel. I just think 5.3 might be stiff on that side of it. I can see it being up in that 5. I'm just concerned that the next variate or version of this in the future is going still up when I'm receiving all the office polls that's not market, that's not an income approach, and that's not a sales comparison approach anymore in the future.
Right. And when it comes to, so right now for next year, for 25, the assessment date would be 1/1/24. And as we know, as you just cited, there is some weakness in the Tri-Cities market right now, right? And that would tend to, put a damper on how much, if at all, the assessor can increase their valuations. In fact, it could come down. And especially, the things you're citing today are perfect evidence for next year's appeal. Now, let me ask you this: is the building fully leased, or everything's leased?
Yes, there's two tenants that occupy it that signed leases before the, 6 months before we purchased it.
Okay. Typically, that North Richland market is kind of a specialized market, as you might imagine, and it tends to be tied to companies associated with DOE contracts. Is that the nature of what your tenants are?
Exactly. They're DOE tied. They have a special government, there's a tie right to the DOE side of it. So it's a kind of a specific property and tenant for that space.
Right. Yes, exactly. Okay. Did you have anything else at this moment, or could we hear from the assessor, and then we could circle back?
Well, that's good. I'd love to hear from the assessor and circle back.
Okay, thank you. Mark, or who's presenting?
I am.
Stephen?
Yeah. Okay, so we're not emotional about this. We're just looking at the data, and we have all three approaches here. They're all coming up above what we have down. We have the sell of the subject. We have a professional appraisal done by a certified general appraiser that's above what we have down. I'm going to go through it really quick. Land sales, we have, they're from $13.96 to $35.20, and we're at $12.73. That's $8 to $9 under the median and mean. We have the sales approach. It's $28.85 less than the closest comparable that we could find.
Stephen, could I interrupt you for a minute? Your land sales, for the most part, are very, very high traffic areas just from looking at them, which is different from North Richland. North Richland is a very specific market, and it's tied to DOE. You don't build a grocery store out in North Richland, right? There's no traffic to support that. So I'm having some trouble with your specific sales here, because they're not really reflective of what shows up in North Richland.
Well, I would look at our cell number one on Columbia Trail. And it's $13.96, and we're at $12.73.
Columbia Trail, yeah, that's a lower traffic area.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really have a view of the water there. It's
right, close, right.
Doesn't have a view of the water. That's why I put that down as the number one sell.
Okay, so are you trading? And I hope you are. I hope you're trading the North Richland property, the lot, as a view lot. Is that correct? And so there's a premium that you attach to a view lot. What is that premium?
25%.
25%. Okay.
A view of the river. We've looked
right.
We have sales studies indicating of, because I mean, you all are probably aware that most of the frontage is actually controlled by the Corps of Engineers, but it's
correct. Yeah.
We take view properties. And all up and down the river on this side of the river, on the Benton County side of the river, it's all the frontage But we're talking about views here, and we've done a sales study about 25%.
25%, okay.
And you know, so, when the proximity gets closer and closer, it goes up to about 40.
Right.
But this property is sitting about 25%. So, I mean,
okay.
We have
made, right.
You know, we have, you know, made an adjustment for the fact that this is in a low traffic area. And I'm well aware, we are well aware of, you know, of how the DOE contracts are shifting to property that they own.
Okay. So then the Columbia Park Trail property is a non-view property. Is that right, Stephen? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And the Richland property is a view property with a 25% bump.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. You may proceed.
Okay. Let's see. As of the sales approach, the closest comparable that we have down is $28.85 less than what. It's the subject is $28.85 less than our closest comparable, and that's $82 to $83 per square foot below the mean and median. Cell number one is the subject. You can't get any better cell than that.
Right.
We're even $31.06 per square foot under that. Jumping to the cost approach, that came in at $5,971,730, which is $662,600 more than what we have down. And it's a 1.4 roughly more than what the tax rep has. The income approach, we looked at what they gave us, the appraisal from Holly Watkins, dated 4/5/23. She pretty painstakingly goes through the market rental analysis, the anticipated operating statement, the mortgage equity technique. And she comes to a capitalization rate of 6.2%. She came to the income capitalization approach value of $6,169,000. Her as-is market value, including the income and the sales comparison approach, she came to $6.1 million, which that is $790,870 more than what the assessed value is.
Which page are you on?
I am on. So the income approach here is going to be on page.
Well, no, you were talking about the third party appraiser.
Yes, I have that, and on the last page of the addenda, I have her.
Oh, okay. Way back. Okay.
Was the appraisal provided to you?
Apparently it was in the document. I just didn't, I usually don't go back that far into the weeds.
But, well, was because Mr. Stricker, he provided that to us. And since it has income and expense information, we couldn't share the entire document because we would have had to redact all that. So we just put a summary in of the conclusions, not all the details.
Okay,
because,
that's fine.
You know, we would prefer that he would have provided it to you so you could peruse it, but he didn't provide trailing 12 or the due diligence income and expense, just the appraisal.
Yeah, that's fine. So their valuation, the independent valuation was done also, you know,
yes,
concurrent with the sale, right, in 23, in May, around May 23. So
a little higher than the sale.
Yeah, so it came in at 6.1.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
But,
anything else at the moment?
Steve has summarized it pretty well. If there are any questions, I mean, there's tons and tons of details, which we'd be happy to go over any detail that you like, but.
Yeah, at this point, I think let's just circle back with Mr. Stricker and see where we are then. Mr. Stricker, comments?
Cool. Hey, appreciate the information and the data. You know, I respect all this stuff and a big data guy myself. So I appreciate all that and how to have a conversation about all this good stuff. So thank you for that. So I would say some comments is, Mr. Romano, you hit my first point, which was North Richland, its own animal. So on a land comp and a
Yes.
delta of that, as is, knowing that it's its own thing. You know, I am the region's only SIOR, which is the Society of Industrial Office Realtors. It's a kind of a prestigious 1% kind of degree showing that we've transacted heavy office volume sales and industrial kind of to really get the next step. And I got that in 2017. And so I'm an office one here, and I really it's just a different thing. I represent a lot of people coming in the market to buy like an investments, leasing it or buying the property. And I would say you know, qualified prospects that are coming in through my channels, you know, 10 to 15% of them are open to North Richland. And if it's more than that, once you kind of educate them on tying it to the DOE, there's no 10-year terms. You might get 5 years, but all these early outs that tie back to the DOE master, the primes, all of a sudden that investor and an appraiser that knows that part says, hey, I have to discount these cap rates and these approaches a little bit more because these are real things. This is 1/1/22, 1/1/23, 1/1/24. This is a known thing. Even in heydays out there, why is not more than Markel and a few other people developed out there? It's a tough cookie. It is a tough cookie. And so that investor realizes I pitched the last 6 years to get someone to buy this asset. I see why they didn't, but I also see the opportunity, but I see why the masses, which is the market, doesn't want to buy something like that at that kind of value. So I agree with some of the comps and the metrics we're talking about, and you know, the true value as of 1/1/23 being closer to your number than my 4.55 number as we go through all this. But I do see that the land arbitrage is a real indicator that maybe that number from 5.3 can come down a little bit because it is. It's a view lot, but we don't get any more rent because of view lot. That's cool to know about the premium, and that makes sense, and especially for residential and some commercial stuff. But you know, it isn't helping us. It's an added external benefit that's intangible and not a tangible thing yet. I hope we can capitalize that in the future, but the path that's been set with that building, that isn't what it is. And so being north and being, if I go back to the cost approach, I can be there. It's expensive then, it's even more expensive now to rebuild this building. Another reason why people
Yes.
don't want to buy these buildings because they know, oh, it's like buying a you know, a 3-year-old BMW. You know, it's going to be a $6,800 lever that broke by accident. So it kind of keeps you away from the Class A office that's kind of its own outlier. So there's that discount that's a real tangible thing that we say, hey, 6.1 cap, I wasn't trading that in 1/1/23. I was selling Tuscany Plaza last year. That has Starbucks and Chase Bank, a very institutional-esque asset, 20,000 square feet, fully developed. We manage it as well, so I know the A to Z. That was a 5 cap, and that was one of the trophy assets. And you basically, people that are looking above $5 million, it's hard to find an asset in Tri-Cities that fits that. So you just want to break it up and say, hey, I'm from Seattle or California or Idaho. I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. I might as well split my capital up in the market. Well, even less likely to put all their eggs in a North Richland basket. So it kind of, even that person that has the credibility to buy that, and so they didn't buy Starbucks and Chase Bank. That's kind of an easy one. That's nothing to do with DOE. That's just part of the Tri-City growth and Pasco and Starbucks and renewals and all those things. And I kept getting 6.5 cap offers. We were 5 cap. That was a true 5 cap, not, you know, in a real high retail, high population, high premium assessment. And we weren't getting that income approach value that was holding our value up. So that really changed things. So if I can't get 5 cap back then in the same time frame as the assessment in 2023 for an asset that deserves a 5.5 cap, at least a sure a 6.1 cap, like Richardson got, We have to discount down that 6.1 cap again for true buyer decision making in the marketplace last year, just like we're looking at a different delta of the land price from Columbia Park Trail to Richardson Road. A small discount from that, I believe.
Yeah, the problem, I can understand what you're saying, and I understand that all the conditions, but everything you're talking about relates to the current market and not what you actually paid for it.
No, I'm using everything I'm saying right now is as a 2023 hat on. It's if anything,
Okay.
it's worse than I sound more sad and more tears this year version of my hat talking about the office market. Last year was,
Right.
hey, there's a cliff coming and we know that, but like, oh, we don't know what it is. But and that's where the opportunity was, hey, they realized that the high value they had before, they really should have sold more like at 5.5, 5.4. But because of where they were, who they were, how long they've been doing it, we couldn't quite get that. And I really think there's a, I'm pro next generation North Richland. We have a lot of aging out landlords in development, and these are kind of some early 40-year-old clients are doing very well in the market that are reinvesting, and that's where I have a kind of a soft spot trying to bring that. So my opportunity and optimism for facts and faith in the future offset 2023's true nature where we're at, and I say that I am speaking as of last year, even though I could be caught up saying this year, but it would sound much
Right.
worse this year for next year.
10% off.
Okay.
If we can just make one quick statement,
Sure.
the rate that we show office in North Richland is the lowest in the Tri-Cities. Compared to offices behind Columbia Center Boulevard, though in Gage area, it is 37% lower in North
And
Richland.
I think that's probably appropriate, don't you? I mean,
It
given
is
this fact.
appropriate. That's why we put it there. 37%, that's very significant. I mean, we have been dealing with this for many, many, many years. And yes, I could go on for 2 hours about the conditions and how the government is building instead of leasing. But everything changes. But I think the 37% negative adjustment that we put on North Richland office is appropriate for the assessment date, and it will be reevaluated every year. And that's that.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
You're welcome.
Mr. Strucker, anything further?
No, I think we need our comment points.
Okay.
I've
All
got a
right, thank
question,
you.
George.
Yeah, Peter, go ahead.
So there's two tenants, two leases. What's the termination date of each of those leases?
26 and 27. And
Okay.
the 26, 2026 is the lion's share tenant that has two of the three floors occupied.
Okay. So that's just a couple more
14,000 square
years,
feet
right?
for one, yeah.
And then at the termination, does it automatically roll over to another 5-year lease or annual lease or what?
We have to we come to new terms, come to whole new renewal terms, fair market value, that kind of stuff. So it makes it challenging to go to that triple net route I was discussing earlier, but that's kind of what's coming up. And the hard part out there is if you sit too long vacant, you can sit years vacant, as you guys know. And so that's where sometimes you can't get the things you want to get because you just got to keep paying a meter or know it might be 12 to 18 months to find that new parking attendant.
Right.
All right, thank you.
I know that well. Peter and I both work out in that North Richland environment, and we sat in leased buildings and off and on, and but then new buildings were built, and as DOE built new buildings, we moved more out of the lease buildings and into the owned buildings. And
Yeah.
so it's often it's DOE roulette out there, right? It depends on what mood DOE is in. They for years they were they wouldn't spend any money, at least at PNNL, and
Yeah.
all of a sudden, at least when I was on the leadership team there, we were planning for a major infrastructure boom, and in fact that has come to pass. So there's been several new buildings out there.
Yeah.
which has take tends to take away from the lease market. So, but
it's kind of the thing with the heavy port involvement in the municipality and what's available. Right. It's a different free market out there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Understand. And, okay.
And part, you know, not that I want to chime in too much, but part of that is because of the age of the existing leasable infrastructure there.
Mm-hmm.
The market, if the buildings that were available weren't so old, it would be easier to get. And so
well, you have the, you,
the subject,
yeah, you have,
looking at its comparable set, the subject can easily outperform. I mean, it's positioned as a newer building, a very nice building, a feature heavy building, when you compare it to the competitive set.
Right. I mean, the Hanford Square buildings and the Sigma buildings out there, you know, they're, what, 40 years old probably by now, and maybe more, I don't know.
Yeah. 40 plus.
40 plus, yeah. So you're right, Abby. That's a newer asset, you know, it tends to attract better clients, you know, and people with ties to DOE contracts. So, okay. Chuck, do you have any questions? Peter, do you have anything further?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Marisol, let's close the hearing and we'll deliberate.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.